word. Would you stand to your feet with me and turn to the book of First Chronicles. First Chronicles. Amen. First Chronicles. We believe that there is a word from the Lord in this place. First Chronicles chapter 26. And when you've located the text, I want you to say amen, amen, and amen. First Chronicles chapter 26. I want to read starting in verse number 1, and then we're going to skip to a few additional verses as we make our way through this particular text. So verse number 1 starts off by saying, the divisions of the gatekeepers from the Korahites, Meshelemiah, son of Kor, one of the sons of Asaph. Then I want you to skip on down to verse number 7. The sons of Shemaiah, Othni, and Raphael, and Obed, and Elzabad, his relatives Elihu, and Semachiah, were also able men. All these were descendants of Obed-Edom. They and their sons and their relatives were capable men with the strength to do the work. Descendants of Obed-Edom, 62 in all. Go down to verse 12. Then the divisions of the gatekeepers through their chief men had duties for ministering in the temple of the Lord, just as their relatives had. Lots were cast for each gate according to their families, young and old alike. The lot for the east gate fell to Shelemiah. Then lots were cast for his son Zechariah, a wise counselor, and the lot for the north gate fell to him. The lot for the south gate fell to Obed-Edom, and the lot for the storehouse fell to his sons. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon. Don't mess with my flow. That's a lot to say in the title, but we're going to unpack it for you. Don't mess with my flow. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words that you've given on these pages, the words that you inscribed on stone and tablet to Moses, and the word that you put in our heart would not return void, but that it may accomplish that which you intended for it to accomplish. Teach us, convict us, lead us, and guide us. Let the anointing of the Most High God fall fresh in this place, and we shall be careful, God, to give your name glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name we do pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Again, we thank the Lord for what has already transpired in our service. As we unfold our new worship experience and order of service, a few of our Sundays we're still fine-tuning, and third Sunday is one of them, as well as second Sunday, given our 8 o'clock services and what we're trying to accomplish. And so, praise and worship team, I appreciate you for being ready, willing, and able. But we just made the decision, given time, we're going to move forward. We thank the Lord for this male chorus. Give God a praise offering for them. They have blessed us. Brother Marvin Ross is just smooth. He's just smooth, isn't he? I like the way he praises the Lord in his songs of praise, as well as all of these men behind us. We got a group of smooth brothers who know how to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to talk about ushers today. Next week, I'll talk about deacons. We got to talk about trustees. We got to talk about choir members. No. Today, I want to use the office, the biblical office of gatekeeper, doorkeeper that we find written in Scripture. to highlight this men's Father's Day service and Father's Day sermon. Last 2 weeks, a month ago on May 9th, the Lord led me to a very unconventional sermon about preaching about Rahab on Mother's Day. And today the Lord dropped something in my spirit. He only said Obed. And when I thought about Obed, my first thought of Obed is the son born to Ruth and Boaz. Ruth, the Moabitess woman, and Boaz. So I said, Lord, perhaps you're leading me in the same direction, that there are people in Jesus's genealogy that we don't ordinarily think of, and Rahab was one of them. Boaz and Ruth, Moabitess woman, their son would be another non-Jewish descendant, because Judaism is really through the birth of the maternal lineage. And so therefore, because Ruth was a Moabitess woman and not a Jew, the reality of this son, Obed, who then becomes the father of who? Jesse, who is the father of David. And so when the Lord dropped Obed in my spirit, I thought he was leading me in a direction to talk about David's granddaddy, Obed. But the Lord said, no, keep praying, keep thinking, keep reflecting. And then I came across Obed Edom. Now, I must tell you, I have not preached any sermon about Obed Edom before. This is my first Obed Edom sermon. And yet what you should know about Obed Edom is a very unique series of events that involves him and his family, and I would dare say leads me then to this Men's Day or this Father's Day sermon, because of his stand as a father and as a spiritual leader and as a leader in God's kingdom. The verse that we often quote for our ushers is Psalm 84:10, which says, right, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so that's a great thematic scripture that every usher's ministry I can think of, particularly in traditional black churches, whether AME Zion, Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, Baptist, you name it, right, cites that. But not just black churches, right? Any church would cite Psalm 84, verse number 10, as a seminal text when you're talking about and or referencing ushers in the house of the Lord. And yet Obed Edom stands as a name that we can start to put every time we talk about Psalm 84 and 10, because Obed Edom was appointed to be what's called a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord. David, in his ministry as a monarch, a king, but also in his ministry as a spiritual leader, as a worshiper, as a mighty man of battle, carried many positions, if you would, within the kingdom of God. One of them was his appointment of worship leaders. And if you look through the book of First Chronicles, it chronicles the evolution of the nation of Israel from its time as a upstart young nation to its time as an established kingdom. It is chronicles. It's similar to the book of Acts, the Acts of the early apostles that established the early church. You can almost think of First and Second Chronicles as a statement chronicling the events that led up to Saul and David and his son Solomon as the first three kings of the nation of Israel. And so in this book, David appoints, right? He wants to build for God a house of worship. The nation of Israel had been worshiping in a tent and a tabernacle up until that time. A tent and a tabernacle that was mobile. It moved as the people of God moved. And in that tent were several things. The table of showbread. It had also the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant contained the tablets that Moses were given on top of Mount Sinai. Also in the Ark of the Covenant were bits of manna that was reminiscent of God's feeding God's people. Well, the Ark of the Covenant came to be representative of the very presence of God. And during Saul's tenure as king, the Ark of the Covenant had not only not been giving it its proper reverence as a seminal artifact in the tent of tabernacle, or the tabernacle where God's worship took place. But not only was it not given its proper reverence, in many ways it was altogether dismissed. And David, wanting to be the great worship leader, this is David now wearing one of his other many hats, not the hat of military leader and strategist and tactician, not the hat of king and monarch and leader, but the hat of a worshiper. David had an understanding of what it meant to worship God. And the Bible says David blessed the Lord. And it is that great statement that we see all throughout the book of Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 28, the Lord is my strength and my fortress. David goes on to talk to us about the worship of God. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Do I have any worshipers here today? I know I got some church attendees, but I don't want just folk who come to church. I want folk who worship the Lord. I don't want folk who just sing in the choir. I want folk who worship the Lord. I don't want folk who just tickle the ivory. I want folk who know how to use the organ and the piano to worship the Lord. I don't want folk just standing on the door. I want folk to be excited. Welcome my brother, welcome my sister, enter into the presence of the Lord. You get to expect a miracle. Something's about to jump off, something's about to happen when you come to worship. David was a worshiper, and the thing that strikes me about David's consistency throughout scripture is this story about the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to get to Obed-Edom in a moment, but I got to set this story up because David talks to us about taking the Ark of the Covenant that contained the Word of God and the manna of God, the very things that got you through the wilderness you ought not easily discard. The very thing that God used to feed you, you ought not call it trash. The very thing that God used to bring you out, you ought not easily dismiss it or them. Listen, y'all, there's some things and some people God used to get you from where you are to where you were to where you are now. Anybody here can think back to yesterday? Where you were yesterday, where you were a year ago, where you were 10 years ago, but look at you now. The doctors counted you for dead, but you're still here. The boss took your job away, but you're still here. The scholarship didn't come through for educational purposes, but you're still here. Not only are you here, but you graduated. You got your degree. You're working at another place. The old house that you used to live in, you don't live there anymore. Because the God you serve saw fit to give you another place to live. And when God blesses you in these ways, when God feeds you like that, when God crosses you over the mountain and down through the valley and parts the Red Sea, you ought not forget the things that God used to bless you. You ought not forget. David said, no, we've got not only to find the Ark of the Covenant, but we've got to put it in its proper place. place of respect and reverence. I'm going to create a temple. I'm going to create a space in the temple. And I want the Ark of the Covenant to come back to the proper place. Because it symbolizes the blessings of God. And so the story then gets into this transportation of the ark from a lost place to a stable place. And so the story, I'm going to use these three words to talk about this story. Put these three words up. I'm going to talk to the men particularly, but not just to the men only. I'm going to talk to all of God's people, right? These three words, put the three words up on the screen for me, because these three words, I want to talk about order. I want to talk about obedience. Now I want to talk about the flow, right? Don't mess with my flow. I want to end with this flowing that we see in the person of Obed-Edom. First, let's talk first about this order. The story goes that as the ark was being transported, put the screen up, the scripture, in 1 Chronicles chapter number 13. If you want to read the story, start in chapter 13 and read all the way through chapter 26. The next 13 chapters talks about the transportation of the ark. As the ark was being transported, the Bible says a man by the name of Uzzah put his hand out to hold the ark because the oxen that were pulling the ark had stumbled. As the oxen stumbled, what seemed to be a very dismissive, very innocent move to catch the ark from falling, almost out of the same respect, the Bible says he caught the ark. But as a result of catching the ark, the Bible says God's fury was roused, and the Bible says God smote the man Uzzah dead right where he was. Go to the next verse. And he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and Uzzah died there before God. Now, it's almost one of those stories, when I get to heaven, I got a list of things I want to talk to God about. God, why didn't Moses get into the promised land? I understand the reason, but it seemed like such a harsh judgment for a man that had led God's people from captivity into freedom, and dealing with all of the machinations of God's people. Why? But God says, right, it's all about my glory. Don't take my glory for granted. I told you to speak to it, but you struck it. You messed around with my glory. How many of you know the Bible starts off, remember, I am the Lord your God, Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I don't want you to even make the people think that you're God. Your job is to remind them that I am God. And above me there is no, if I can just talk to the fathers in the house for a minute. Fathers, your job, your primary numero uno job is to be a follower and a worshiper of God, and to give God your preeminent place in your life, so that then flows, right, when from God to husband and father into your family and into your community. But when there are no fathers or they're out of place, then it messes up the flow from heaven into the community. Not knocking my single mothers. I honor my single mothers. My grandmama helped raise me. I had aunts and other members of my family that did an awesome job, like many of you did. But the right order that God had put into place was for Adam to be the spiritual covering over his house, and to ensure that his wife Eve and their children were covered under the blood, under the righteousness of God. And sisters, I know, I believe you want a godly man in your life. And listen, perfect or not perfect, there's nobody perfect. The reality is, how do you as a father cover your family? Do you pray for them? Do you lay hands on them? Do you anoint them? Do you beseech God's throne of grace in the midnight hour on behalf of them? Are you sacrificing for them? Are you doing that which God has called you to do as father over your household? And so I believe this order thing is important. Uzzah was a consequence of the wrongful ordering that was taking place with regards to the Ark of the Covenant. Because the reality is, the only folk that were supposed to touch the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, were the Levitical priests. And it seems like such a harsh thing that a man who was trying to help David, that was called to do what God, the man that God had appointed over the kingdom, David had called him to do. He was just trying to protect the ark. But because he was out of order, and David was out of order for putting him on detail to transport the ark, the Bible says when he caught it, God's anger was aroused. I believe because things are out of order, God's anger is aroused. Because there's some fathers that are out of order. There's some things that are not flowing right and working right. Because there are a generation of children in the city of Trenton that don't have a father. Therefore, they don't know how to be a father. And so, therefore, there's two or three generations that have no idea with what being a father is all about. Things are out of order. And I believe God's anger is aroused, not that God is killing, but until and if and again until we figure out how to put the order back in place, I believe the devil will run rampant in our city and in our communities and in our state and in our country, because the devil likes disorder. But God wants order. And so the Bible says that Uzzah died, was struck down because of the disorder that took place in transporting the Ark of the Covenant. The next verse I want to share with you in this sequence says in verse 15, "For because you did not do it the first time," this is David speaking now, "God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order." There is a proper order that God has set in the house of worship. There's a proper order that God has set in the family. There's a proper order that God has set in the church. There's a proper order that God has set in the community. There's a proper order that God has set in the nation. There's a proper order that God has set. And when the order is broken, that's when you have chaos and confusion. So David recognizes the order, the mistake that he made. It cost a man his life. And so now David tries to make amends and he says, I know that I messed up. Go to the next verse in this section. He says, I know that I messed up, but I've got to figure out how to make this thing right. And so David would not move the ark anymore into the city, but took the ark into the house of a man by the name of Obed-Edom. Here we come. Here comes the usher that I'm going to talk about a little bit as we go further into the service. Because David, when he didn't know, when he realized he messed up, a lot of us, when we mess up, we keep messing up. A lot of us, when we lie, we try to tell another lie to cover the first lie, as opposed to just being truthful with what happened the first time. So David, and when he messed up, he said, let me just pause for a moment. Let me hit the pause button. And a lot of us, listen, we're not perfect, but when we mess up, stop trying to make your mess messier. Just pause for a moment. Say, Lord, help me. I don't know how I got here, but I'm in a mess. Can you help me get out of the mess and help me not make any more mess than what I've made already? David, pause. He said, Brother Obed, can I park the ark here until further direction from God? Obed-Edom, being a man of faith, says, I'm sure, it doesn't say it in the Bible, but he clearly obliged. And so now the Ark of the Covenant is found, but it has not yet made it to its proper place. Remember order. But while it is on its way, it is parked in a place that is secure in the house of a man by the name of Obed-Edom. And so now we go to point number two, from order to obedience. Now the second point, to bring the scripture up, it talks to us about what David did did next. The ark of God remained with Obed-Edom 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Keep going. The next verse says, then David said, no one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them and to minister before him forever. Next verse. And it goes on to say, David called for the priest and for the Levites and said, you are the heads of the fathers' houses. Sanctify yourselves. And so, daddies, I just want to stop by and remind you, you are the heads of the houses in which God has given you. You are the heads of the wives that God has brought alongside of you. You are the heads of the children that God has brought into your house. You are the heads of the churches of Jesus Christ that are on the battlefield against the devil. You are the heads of the houses. You need to sanctify yourself and attend to your proper place so that the devil can stop running amok in our churches and in our families. Come on, brothers. We need to sanctify ourselves. I'm not knocking the women of our church, but it's clear to me that God said to Adam, you ought to be the head of your household. Paul reiterates this in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. So much so that he gave his life for it. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now listen, some of the sisters say, well, if he's the head, I'm the neck. And I ain't seen a head that turn without a neck. Come on, brothers, turn your head. Turn your head. Can't turn if you don't have a neck. I've never seen a tent without a center pole. Come on, somebody. So it's not about one-upsmanship. It's not about, right, you to the men over the women or the women over the men. It's about the order that God set into place. And so it is. David reminds the men, the fathers of the houses, what's your responsibility? And we can make all the excuses we want about why the brothers aren't, where the brothers are at. I can tell you definitively that they're building jail cells right now for young black boys in preschool, planning to have many of those black boys in jail cells when they get into their teen years and into their early 20s. You tell me why black men comprise 6% of the United States population, and yet we comprise 50 to 60% of prison populations around America. America has the highest rate of incarceration of any industrialized country in the world. Behind China. And that's no distinction. And so you ask where the men are? The devil is trying to kill them. That's where they're at. Devil is running amok, robbing and stealing and killing and destroying. And when I read in the paper that whether it was 15 times or 17 times, one bullet is too much. Raekwon was shot one time in his head. This young boy was shot 15 to 17 times all over his body. We ask where the men are at. And so, yes, sister, if you're not dealing with someone who's been formerly incarcerated, you're dealing with someone who hasn't been able to go on and get an education. Because we're quick to classify young black boys as learning disabled because of whatever excess of energy and excitement that they bring. Well, if you saw mama getting beat in the head last night and you didn't have any food on your table, you might be acting out in school also. So if they're not undereducated, not underemployed, they're imprisoned. And you tell me where the men are at. And yet, in the midst of all that, God is still causing men, like many of the men sitting around in this congregation, men like Deacon George Poole, men like Bob Revelle, men like Ollie Wilson, men like Brother Grady, men like Brother Clem Mapp, men like Brother Osborne, men like Brother Mapover, men like Brother Sean, men like all over the congregation who are taking their rightful places in their homes and in the churches, trying to do what God has called them to do, trying to hold up the bloodstained banner, trying to be the man of God, trying to be the servant of God, trying to worship God, trying to lead a life that is pleasing. So that's the beauty of the black church. Because when we had brokenness in the community, we can still send our children to church. And the deacon may not be my daddy, but the deacon can act like my daddy. The deacon may not be my father's child, but he can act like he's somebody's father. The deacon or the trustee or the finance man or the usher or anybody else in the house of the Lord. Understand the power and responsibility that we carry. So therefore, we need to sanctify ourselves. The Bible says that David said to, when he made it, we realize he made his mistake. He said to the priests, sanctify yourselves, for you are over your father's houses, and take your rightful place. And out of obedience to God's word, you get ready to carry the ark. And I just stopped by to tell some brothers at Shiloh Baptist Church, we got a new mayor. We got a new congresswoman. I pray going to Congress. But whether the political leaders do what God has called them to do or not, the church has no opportunity to sway or to go away from the direction that God is calling us to do. Brother Joe Johnson, we've got to stand up and be the men of God that God is calling us to be. Because we are living in a community that is being torn asunder, that is being broken, that is being destroyed. And brothers in this church and other churches, I believe it will stop. The madness will stop when we begin to stand up, sanctify ourselves, and begin to get our flow back. So as I go to my last point and get ready to go to my seat, I want to use flow as a word to talk about the right when order and obedience is in place. Then God will flow into your life. Listen, beloved, when order and obedience, not sacrifice, because the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. I know a lot of folk who want to go above and beyond, but just do the basics first. Some of y'all didn't clap right there. I understand why. Because so many of us get caught up doing that we forget to be. And God is saying, just be the worshiper that I've called you to be. Be the available person that I've called you to be. You may not have it all together, but I don't even know your availability is better than your ability. Let me say that one more time. Your availability is better than your ability. God doesn't need you to figure it all out before God moves the mountain. God just needs somebody who will pick up the staff and strike the Red Sea. God doesn't need you to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. God is just looking for a willing servant who says it's not about me, but it's all about the Lord. And the Lord can do great and marvelous things. God's just looking for somebody to stand up and to go forward. God is just looking for a willing servant. Is there anybody willing today to be available for the Lord? Moses had all kind of problems, but he was available. Joshua wasn't perfect, but he was available. Paul had some mess ups, but he was available. Peter didn't have it all together, chopping off folks' ears and talking about folk like a dog, but he was available. And more often than not, God is looking for some available folk. You can do more with your availability than you can with your ability. I know you got degrees behind your name, but how many of you know you got some smart, ignorant, foolish people out there?
got a bunch of degrees and a bunch of know-how, but don't have any common sense, and showed up don't have any spiritual sense. God is saying, you're not perfect. Don't try to present yourself as being perfect. Just be a willing vessel. Just let me use you as an instrument. And when I use you, I'll confound the wise, because they'll scratch their heads and say, how in the world did he make it? How in the world did she get over? How in the world did she get out? How in the world did she get that? And you can just say, I'm available to you. Lord, I'm available. And so I believe this man by the name of Obed-Edom was available. He opened up his house. He brought the Ark of the Covenant in his house. And I believe that because he not only opened his house and brought the Ark into the house, he understood the power of the Ark. Let me stop and help somebody. When you just open up your house, come on somebody, when you stop closing yourself off, but open up your house, you see the Ark of the Covenant is symptomatic of the presence of God. And the house that Obed had wasn't his, but it came from God. And so I don't know how many folk David asked to open up their houses, but all I know is that Obed-Edom opened up his house and the Ark of the Covenant came on in. Many of us, we've got the doors to our houses shut. God's trying to come in, but you won't let him in. God's trying to move in, but you got too much clutter up in your house. God wants to take up habitation, but there's nowhere to habitate because you got too many other people before him. God wants to move in. Obed-Edom opened his house. The Ark of the Covenant came on in. And the Bible says that because he recognized the power of the Ark, that God blessed his family. How do I know? Go to point number 3. Flow and go to the scriptures behind it. The next scripture in this third point goes now into chapter number 26. And the chapter that I just read to you, right? Verse 1. Concerning the divisions of the gatekeepers, David appointed Obed-Edom a gatekeeper. He appointed other people to be worshippers, worship leaders, Asaph and Korah and others. But Korah was appointed to be a gatekeeper. Go to the next verse. The next verse in this series in chapter 26 says, moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were many. I'm not going to name them. They're right there in verse number 4. But the Bible says, for God had blessed him. Listen, when you open up your house to the presence of God, God will not only bless you, but God will bless your family. Come on, somebody. And brothers, if you are over your houses, one way to get your household blessed is by making sure you are in right order with God. If you're trying to figure out why your marriage got so many problems, you might be out of order with God. The Bible says Obed-Edom's house was blessed. And then it goes on to say something that blew me away. Go further down at the next verse. It says in verse 8, all these were of the sons of Obed-Edom and their brethren. And the Bible says 62 in number from the 8 children that he had and their descendants, his household multiplied. He had many children. But here's the part I like. The Bible says when David built the city, there were 3 gates in the north and 3 gates in the south, 3 gates in the east and 3 gates in the west. And the Bible, go to the next verse. The Bible says that these men begin to cast lots over who would have certain responsibility over which gate of the city. And so the next verse in chapter 26 goes on to say, and they cast lots, the small as well as the great. Obed-Edom was then over the south gate, and his sons were given the storehouse. Now, that word storehouse ought to jump open in somebody's mind. Because the storehouse in the kingdom was not only the place where the Ark of the Covenant rested, but it was also where other things of God were. Oh, you're not getting the point, are you? And because Obed-Edom was obedient and opened up his house, I don't know if it was the best gate, but I can tell you this. The south gate was also given the place of the storehouse. That means that Obed's house was blessed. But not only were they blessed, they were blessed over being a blessing. You're not getting that thing, are you? And I just stopped by to tell somebody and anybody and everybody that when you open up your house and get things in order, God will not only bless you, but he'll bless you to be a blessing. And the Bible says he'll open up the storehouse. I like that word. The storehouse of heaven. I don't know what the storehouse looks like. I don't know what the storehouse feels like, but I can truly understand this one thing. There's a bunch of stuff in the storehouse, and I'm so glad that the God I serve, if I just order my steps in his word, he'll bless my house, he'll bless my wife, he'll bless my children, he'll bless my church, he'll bless my community. But not only will he bless down here, but he'll open the storehouse and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. Has anybody ever been blessed by the Lord? I want you to take your best blessing. I don't know if it's material. I don't know if it's spiritual. But get your best blessing and then say, Lord, I know you got something better than my best blessing. The storehouse of heaven. The storehouse of heaven can and will be yours when you order your steps in the Lord. Now I'm talking to everybody, not just the men. Everybody. Because it's no good to have a brother and a husband and a father whose steps are ordered and the wife's steps are not ordered. It's no good the father and the mother trying to order their steps and the children are out of order. God wants a household that is ordered. He wants a church that is ordered. He wants ministries that are ordered. As I go to my seat, the word flow. If you put an O behind the F and make it add an L, make it follow. I believe what God is looking for are folk who are obedient to his word. And the obedience is the key that unlocks the flow that begins to flow into your life. When I think about things flowing, I think about water. And water takes three different forms. It takes air. I mean, it takes vapor. It takes the form of gas and vapor, clouds, evaporation. It takes the form of liquid, water flowing. And it takes the form of solid ice. The first and the last don't flow. Gas is vaporous. It rises, but there's nothing. You can't touch it. When you get enough of it, some water come, but it doesn't flow. And ice, it gets stuck to itself and freezes. And so it blocks and impedes the flow. So on one hand, you've got gas that looks like some water, but you can't touch it because you can't grab it. But on the other hand, you got too much of something and it's stuck and it's not moving because it's frozen. Come on, somebody. But when the Holy Ghost comes and thaws the ice, the water begins to flow. When the Holy Ghost comes and put more of the gas together, then the water begins to fall from heaven and it flows. I don't know about you, but I don't want a form of godliness that looks like I got something, but you can't touch it. And I don't want some ice where it's all frozen and stuck together, cold and can't do anything for the Lord. I want to flow. I want my water for God to flow. I want my praise to flow. I want my worship to flow. I want my adoration to flow. I want my exaltation to flow. And when I flow for the Lord will flow into me. I don't know about you, but I want my cup to run over. I want the blessings of the Lord to be poured into my life. I want to bless God at all times. I believe Obed-Edom was flowing because of his obedience and the rightful ordering of the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, the Ark is only reflective of the presence of God. And so when the presence of God is rightfully ordered in your life, I believe things will begin to flow. And when you are obedient to the Word of God, I believe things will begin to flow. If you're constipated and you can't get things working, maybe you need to ask, Lord, Lord, thaw me out. Thaw some stuff in my life. Do some things. Remove the blockage because I want to flow. Yeah, I said constipated. Because I believe our churches are filled with some constipated Christians who are not flowing. And God is saying, stop trying to be perfect. Stop trying to present yourself as perfect. And just be who I called you to be. And just be available. And watch me do the rest. I will flow when you put me in my right place. That's all I stopped by to tell you. Happy Father's Day. Let's just give the Lord a praise offering. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconesses and clergy, help me extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. Yeah, when your friend and neighbor asked you what the preacher preached about, he said he preached about constipated Christians. Somebody here needed to hear the word of the Lord. Now you know who Obed-Edom is. He was a gatekeeper in the house of the Lord. Now, a gatekeeper is a little different than a doorkeeper, but they were all assigned to the house of the Lord. And I love the fact that Obed-Edom was flowing with God. Wherever you want me to go, God, I'm a go. Whatever you want me to do, I'm a do. Whatever you want me to say, I'm a say. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to be obedient, and I'm going to follow you because of my obedience is in my flow. And helps me to move where you tell me to move in the name of the Lord Jesus. Listen, somebody here needed to hear the word. As the choir sings, we want to offer this invitation to join the church, to come under watch care, or to be a Christian and to accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. If you know the Lord is speaking to you, go ahead and sing, gentlemen.
Victory is mine.
As they sing, the invitation
is
extended.
Victory is mine.
The invitation
is extended. Victory is mine. Victory
the
today
is mine.
Well, I told Satan, get thee.
Get thee.
Well, victory today is mine. Yeah, happiness and whoa, happiness. Yeah, happiness today. Well, I told Satan.
Come on, let's put our hands together and give God a praise offering for our sister.
Well, happiness today is mine. Well, joy. Oh, joy. Yeah, joy today is mine. Well, I told Satan. I told. Well, get thee. Well, joy today is mine.
Peace is mine.
Praise is mine. Yeah, peace.
Anybody else here? Mine. Anybody else here?
Praise today. Well, I told Satan.
I told
get thee. Well, peace today is mine. victory. Yeah, victory today. Well, I told Satan,
get thee behind.
Get thee.
Stay right there. I told Satan.
Well, I told
Satan,
get thee.
I told Satan, get thee.
Get thee.
One more time.
I told Satan. Yeah, get thee.
Whoa,
victory today in my.
Put your hands together. Somebody give God a praise offering in this place. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for what we have seen, heard, witnessed, and experienced. I pray that the words would not return void, but that they would have accomplished what you intended. May someone else here beside our sister, if they know, God, you're speaking to them, I encourage and I pray, Holy Ghost, that you would convict to bring them forward.
Yes, Lord.
That they would know that the rest of the day is not guaranteed and tomorrow is not promised.
Right.
And so, Father, I pray your blessings now upon them and ask that you would keep them, each one, in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we love you. We bless you now. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. You've got a praise offering. You may be seated. Deacon.